Well, as we begin this morning, just let me plug this weekend to you all. We will not be having Wednesday night. The choir will be having choir practice, so I wanted to note that. But we will not be having Wednesday night so that your week is a little bit more free, so that this weekend we can impose a little bit more upon your time. Friday night looks like it's going to be a beautiful night weather-wise, and last year it was great, even though the weather was not nice, but we're looking forward to it being nice. And so come be a part of that, even if you don't have kids. I think you would have a great time just coming and fellowshipping and meeting others and seeing all that's going on. So that's Friday night, starting at what time, Jordan?
5 o'clock.
Dinner's here. And then lots of games and festivities and things of that nature. So a great night in the life of our church. And then Saturday morning, we will be back here, right here in this spot. And Dale Ralph Davis is going to be our speaker. I think you will all really enjoy him and enjoy the teachings that he brings. And it's just in the morning, so we'll have two sessions in the morning. It will be done by lunch. We'll have you out the rest of the day, and then we'll be back here for Sunday school Sunday morning, and then we have a joint presbytery worship at Midway Presbyterian at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and Dale will be preaching there as well. So full weekend, but it's going to be a great weekend. I think y'all will enjoy it. One just note, if you do have children and are coming on Saturday morning and need childcare from 1 to 5, age, that's the age range, 0 to 5, I guess I should say. Just make sure to register so that our wonderful nursery workers know how many we need for childcare for Saturday morning. Glad to provide it. Just if you all can register on the website, that gives us a little bit of indication of how many people we need. So anyway, look forward to it. Hope you are as well. As you all know, we're going to look at Hebrews. We're going through a study of one another's, the one another commands. And our one another command this morning comes from Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. I'll let y'all find that in your Bibles or digital devices, however you have brought your word, your sword this day. And as you find it, I'm going to take a couple more drinks of coffee. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says this, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the command here is, they're kind of linked together, but there's actually two of them. Stir up one another and meet together, or meet one another together, is the commands that are here. But we're going to be taking a look at this aspect of what it means to stir one another up towards love and good deeds. Recently, my wife came back from a business training trip, and she was telling me a conversation that she overheard. She wasn't a part of it, but she overheard it. And it was two ladies in this training, and they were talking about church. And one of them asked the other one, well, where do you go to church? Where do you attend church? And the lady that she was speaking to admitted that, well, she actually doesn't go to church, but rather she attends church through the internet. That the internet was her church, and went on to say how, you know, the internet has such great resources and that she uses those rather than go to church. And the other lady actually admitted that she does the same, that she is not a member of a church, doesn't physically go to a church, but goes to online church. And I think this is becoming kind of more and more the norm, where you have internet pastors and you have internet churches. And I think it's troubling for several reasons, but a couple that come to mind is, the first is kind of a little bit more broad culturally, and then the other one's a little more specific to us and to the church. The broad cultural one is that I think our technology is actually making us more and more isolated than connected. Now, it'll say that we're more connected because we have more opportunities to be able to reach out to others. But in reality, I think our circles are actually getting smaller and smaller as a result. Maybe you have more connection with a few people, but you do not have as many connections with a lot of people. And I say this for several reasons, just from experience. I go to the gym most mornings, not every morning, but as I go to the gym, I'm surrounded by people. But how many of those people do I talk to on a daily basis? Well, actually one. Chris Poyo works out at the same gym, so he and I talk once in a while. But everybody has their headphones in. Everybody's doing their own thing. Nobody's talking. Nobody's interacting with one another. You see this both with adults. You see it with teenagers. My wife and I went out to lunch this week on my day off, and we're eating lunch and, having a wonderful time together. And I look over, and there's two teenage girls that are eating lunch together, but they might as well not be eating together because they're eating their lunch both on their phones, right? And I never saw them actually talk at all between the two of them the whole lunchtime. I mean, they might as well have gone to different tables, even though they were at the same table. There was no interaction, no fellowship taking place. And I think what we're discovering is that culturally people feel more and more isolated, lonely. Social anxiety is very much on the rise, and I think it's because we don't have to interact with one another very often. And so going to church, especially going to a church where you don't know anyone and where you might have to talk to people and people might talk to you, right, is becoming something that is extremely countercultural. And so I want to say I appreciate all of you that just finished the new members class and those of you that went against that and went against the stream, so to speak, to come and be a part of the class and even be here this morning. But the second aspect of this is not just culturally, but when we think about the church, when we think about this command, this stir one another up, I think it's almost impossible to do without being able to do it face to face, without being able to do it in person. And the reality is, I don't think you can fulfill really hardly any of these one another commands from a distance. Maybe you can pray for one another and encourage one another. Sometimes you can do those things from afar, but I would even say those things are better implemented face to face and in person with one another. And so this aspect of us being more isolated is hindering us and is isolating us. And so I love the internet. I want to go back to that. I'm grateful for it, but I do very much have a love-hate relationship with the internet, especially in the context of the church. I'm glad for our live stream and for those that need it, those that are providentially hindered, those that are shut-ins, those that are sick, those that just recently had surgery. It's a great thing, it's a wonderful thing. Those that do it just out of convenience is not how it should be, because we're hindering and ultimately hurting ourselves by not coming and being able to fulfill these aspects of the one another commands. And I think it comes out of that mindset, and no doubt you've seen it and probably even seen it in yourself, is that we as a culture have a consumer-driven mindset. What do I get? What do I receive? What is it going to give me that I desire? And so we can oftentimes treat the church that way. And if that is your mentality of church, then yeah, internet church is just fine, right? Because it's kind of giving you what you want. It's giving you the spiritual fix, but it's only one way, right? It's kind of like a spiritual drive-through where you can kind of get what you need and then be on your way. As you know, that's not the mentality that we're to have as Christians. It's not what we can get, but what we can give. And that's why this command follows so closely on the heels of the one from last week, which was to serve one another. That we're to have that servant type mindset of coming, that we are here to serve others, that we are here to be a blessing to them. And so if that is our attitude, if we realize I'm not here for me, others aren't here for me. God's not here for me. I'm here for others and here for God. Then I think we have the right mindset, because that's where really the greatest commandment comes from, to love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That when we come with this aspect that I'm here to love God and to love others, and I'm not just here to be loved and to receive love, then I think we have that right mentality that we should have. The Lord is helping us to flip our worldview, because that's really what needs to happen. Because we come from the womb thinking about self, right? Loving self. I always tell those that are about ready to have little ones, they don't come out of the womb saying, "What can we do for you, mom and dad?" They just don't, okay? They come out kicking and screaming, demanding that all of their needs be provided for, right? And that demonstrates that is absolutely the mentality of us all. I always love the scripture from Ephesians chapter 5, and it's very convicting, in fact, where Paul is talking about the relationship between husbands and wives, and he says that he who loves his wife loves himself. And you want to stop Paul and go, wait, no, that doesn't make sense. He who loves himself is how it should read, right? But Paul is saying, no, don't be concerned about loving yourself. Be concerned, husbands, about loving your wife and giving love, because the more that you give, the more that you love this other, the more love you will receive in return. In fact, the love that you will receive in return is much greater than the love that you will get on your own if you just kind of look out for number one, take care of number one. The scripture is obviously saying, husbands, no, put your wife and your family number one, and you'll realize that actually will be better for you than if you put yourself number one and love yourself. You'll receive a greater love. And that's just true of the scriptural principle that it's better to give than to receive. To give love is better than to receive love. And we receive love when we give love. And so, again, going back to our cultural problem, it's no wonder why people feel isolated and lonely and ultimately not love, because they're not giving love, right? They're not showing love. They're not demonstrating love through service, and therefore they are not receiving any love and feel that much more isolated. And so this one another really changes all of that. Really all of the one another's change that aspect and change that mindset. But what I really love about this scripture is that this verse tells us that this isn't anything new. This isn't a new phenomenon. Oftentimes we can think about our cultural problems and think this is brand new. You know, mankind has never experienced what we're experiencing right now. And the reality is that's just not true. that our 21st century problems are problems that humanity has been facing ever since the fall of mankind. There's nothing new under the sun. The means and methods by which our problems come about may be new, but the problem, the underlying problem itself is hardly ever new. It is not new. But that's what the author of Hebrews says here. Let us not forget, or let us not forget to consider how to stir up one another, not neglecting the meeting together, as is the habit of some. You notice that, right? That this was the problem that was taking place even in the first century church. So what is this command? What are we to do when we're thinking about stirring up one another? I don't know about you, but when I think of the aspect of stirring up, I think of a giant spoon, right? And maybe like a coffee cup or something like that, when you stir up your coffee creamer in the morning. But that's probably not too helpful of an analogy on what that means spiritually. But when I think of stirring up, oftentimes I think about it more in the negative, meaning, I don't know about you all that have children, but I know that when my four little hoodlums that live at 2474 get together, there's a lot of stirring up. But usually not for good, not for love and good works. There is a lot of provoking, right? There's a lot of pushing of buttons. There's a lot of irritation and aggravation and exasperation. And so those are all of the negative aspects. And I think it demonstrates that you can either stir up negatively or you can stir up positively. That you can, as I said, either provoke, irritate, aggravate, exasperate, or you can ignite, you can encourage, you can inspire, you can hearten, you can relieve, you can provide life. And so there's this aspect of stirring up towards harm or hurt and exhaustion, or stir up in a way that gives life, that gives kind of positivity, even revitalization. And I think it's, again, that aspect of that mindset, that if we are negative, if we are irritated, why are we oftentimes that way? It's because we're kind of not getting what we want, right? We're not getting out of the situation what we expect and even sometimes demand. But again, if we have that mindset of, hey, others aren't here for me, I'm here for others, that this situation may not be what I want it to be, but by God's grace, hopefully I can help the situation. I can bring relief. I can bring comfort. I can be able to give and not just get. Then that mindset changes. And it really is incredible, this aspect that we can either be kind of darkness or light, right? And again, not to harp on my kids, but I will. This week, so I go to the gym, come home, usually try to help get some breakfast together. Then I go upstairs and take a shower, and while the kids are coming downstairs to eat breakfast, and so Stephanie's kind of getting the kids fed and everything like that. Well, two of our kids that happened to both be boys. We're just in a foul mood one morning, and just everything was negative. Everything, could not please them. And by the time I came down, my wife was like, "You need to step in because I'm starting in the negative this morning with these two. That they have drained me already." And like I said, it's incredible that we can have that effect, right, upon a situation and upon others. That we can either be people that suck life or give life. So my encouragement to you this morning is don't suck, okay? be givers, not just getters. Don't be an irritant. Don't be a pebble, like when you get a pebble in your shoe, and how much that bothers you and irritates you, but rather be a balm that heals, that restores, that gives life. What are some of the ways that we can do this? Well, we want to stir up one another towards love and good deeds. And this stirring up can take different forms, kind of within the realm of your personality and the realm of your gifts. Not everybody has to do it the same. Not everybody has to be a rah-rah, you know, cheerleader type to stir up others. Part of stirring up might be a listening ear. Be there for someone in the midst of their trials and their difficulties, really giving attention to what they're saying. With that, be a sympathetic understander. Be a good friend. Be a host. Provide hospitality that provides a haven of peace and of comfort. Be an encourager, if that be verbally or if you do better writing. Give some written cards of encouragement. Our Oasis group does such a wonderful job with that. Be a bearer of burdens. Be a prayer warrior. Be a servant that serves. Be an example that inspires. And we could go on and on and on, but you see the theme throughout all of those is that they're giving life to others. Just like Christ gave his life, we want to give life. We want to be life-giving in our interactions, a giver and not a taker. And one of the greatest ways that we can do this is probably one of the simplest that the author of Hebrews talks about here, is that we do not want to neglect meeting together. And now I think that meeting together could be one-on-one, and definitely that's a part of this. But the part that I think he is telling the church here, those that he is writing to, is do not neglect meeting together for the habit of worshiping, the gathering together, the assembling together. In fact, the word that he uses there comes from that Greek word that you get the word synagogue from, that the people would gather. And the synagogue was the gathering spot, the gathering place. And so he's saying for the church, don't neglect that. That when we come together, this is a time to be stirred up. And what a blessing it is to think of the church in that way. That, you know, you go out during the week and you're giving your all. You know, you're going out there and trying to kill it and, you know, drag it home for the sake of the family. And it's exhausting, right? And you are wore out by the time the weekend comes. But you come to Sunday going, this is the place where I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be a blessing. And I'm going to be revitalized and renewed. You know, it's kind of like during the week you are a dry sponge that's kind of been wrung out. But then Sunday you come and go, Holy Spirit, I need to be filled again. Through your people, through the church, through the worship of God. And so hopefully that is what is taking place, that our worship and our gathering together is the greatest means by which we are positively stimulated towards love for one another and love for good works. It's kind of that shot in the arm that ignites and enlightens. And that happens through worship, right? Dead worship doesn't do that, but true biblical spirit-filled worship should give that aspect of stirring one another up to giving God his glory, giving God his praise, as well as helping one another. And truly, there's no greater place than that. I think I've said this before, and I'll wrap it up here, because as I said, I would give minutes, and now minutes are quickly leaving. But Psalm 84 talks about how we go from spring to spring through the valley of Baca, and through that, it's an aspect of journey, and you see this aspect of being in the desert. But it talks about how we go from spring to spring, And that's really is the kind of the Christian life, is that every Sabbath is like a spring where we go and we are refreshed and we are renewed in love and good works towards one another. And so hopefully you are drinking deeply every Sunday because we need it. So with that being said, we have another opportunity to do that this day. And we're grateful to be able to stir one another up towards these love and good works and be an encourager of one another to both give life as well as to receive life through the fellowship of the saints. Well, we have some those that have just completed the new members class. Make sure I don't miss anybody. I got to Pat and Holly right here. So if you just raise your hand, they just completed the new members class. We got Jabri and Hawa right here. Let me see, Clarissa in the back. Yep. David and Pat right there. Marty and Monica. Donna here. Okay, did I get everybody over here? And do we have anybody over here? Oh, there she is. Mama Pat, Mama Wit. Glad to have Belinda there. And right here. And John and Jung Rock King. So is that everybody? There was a few more that were in the new members class, but I want to make sure that I didn't miss anybody. Well, now you all know where they're at, where they're sitting, and even know their names. And if they don't know their names, it's right there. Okay, so read the name. But encourage them, and we're so thankful for y'all to have completed that class, and grateful that you are here, and glad to have you here this morning. So let me pray, and then we got a few more minutes of fellowship before the kids come in, so quickly make your way over there if you want to get anything. And I think there's probably some more coffee that's been made. So let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy and love to us. Lord, again, when we think of your example, that you literally gave life, you gave of your life, oh Lord, so that we could be made alive, that we could be spiritually renewed and changed. What a tremendous blessing that is, Lord, not just this day and this week, but for all of eternity, Lord. We have eternal life in Christ. Lord, would we now be life-giving and light-bearing, oh Lord, of giving forth your praise and your glory, Lord, and helping and encouraging one another. Lord, again, would we be here for others and be here for you as servants of yours? Lord, would that be our purpose and our mandate? Lord, we're grateful for those that have just completed this class, and grateful for their gifts and the talents, Lord, the way that you have made them and the journey that you have had them on that have brought them to this place and this spot. Lord, if they journey with us for a short time or a long time, Lord, would it be an encouraging time for them in their life? And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your church, your body, that is so truly life-giving and a blessing to each and every one of us. Lord, would we enjoy this day as we even enjoy the presence that you give of yourself to us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Man, oh man. Choices here. Thanks, James.
Oh, I didn't do any of this. Trust me, I didn't do it.
Well, you brought the coffee now, so. Yeah, thanks, Jim. Did you have to order them ahead of time and make sure that they were all...
Randy ordered them and paid for them ahead of time. All I had to do was pick them up.
Oh, man.
But then I got here and didn't know how to make coffee, and it was like quarter after, and there was nobody here. And luckily, Danny came in. Danny was there and helped out. So I learned a little bit of how to make coffee. I mean, I know how to make coffee at home, you know. I know how, but you don't know how different machine or how people want it.
Wow.
I thought when you were talking there, or it occurred to me about how you treat other people, whether you can be encouraging or whether you can be a downer. And I reflected on a comment by C.S. Lewis. Talk